The following program is a presentation of the Arkansas Symphony and UALR Public Radio.
This is Jeffrey Robson for the Arkansas Symphony Orchestra, and you are listening to At the Symphony. In this program, we will preview and explore the works of the Arkansas Symphony Orchestra's Masterworks series. On the program this week will be Mozart's Jupiter Symphony, Prokofiev's Third Piano Concerto, and by Richard Strauss, a suite of music from the opera Der Rosenkavalier.
Thank you.
This is Jeffrey Robson, and welcome to At the Symphony. You've been listening to the first movement of Mozart's Symphony No. 41, the Jupiter Symphony, a work of uncommon brilliance. This was Mozart's final symphony, written in 1788, 3 years before his tragic early death. Mozart's final three symphonies were written together in an outpouring over the course of that single summer. In atypical fashion for the times, these three symphonies were written without a commission. It's possible to presume that he intended to sell the scores for profit, but he never did. He was mired in rather difficult personal circumstances after coming back from the Don Giovanni premiere in Prague, and it appears he may have immersed himself in his composing as something of an escape. Symphonies 39, 40, and 41 all exhibit Mozart's mature symphonic style and are crowning achievements of classical style and form. What comes to the fore in these symphonies, as well as his mature operas, is the range of emotions that Mozart was able to evoke in his melodies. Mozart was an emotional person. He took to heart what people said to him or about him. He tackled projects with the greatest enthusiasm and experienced periods of dark feelings when things weren't going well. His mood could change very quickly. This he does capture in his music. Part of the exquisite balance present in these late classical works is in Mozart's ability to evoke joy and sadness, calm and storm, grace and rustic charm in consecutive breaths in the music. Mozart achieves new heights of lyricism in the slow movements of this instrumental work, as you can hear in the second movement of the 41st Symphony. You're listening to Music of Mozart here on KLRE. That was George Zell conducting the Cleveland Orchestra in a recording of Mozart's Symphony No. 41, the Jupiter Symphony. The third movement minuet is the epitome of old-world Viennese elegance and charm. In the middle trio section, Mozart musically previews what will be the main theme of the finale movement yet to come. This sharing of material between symphony movements was very rare, if not unheard of, in Mozart's time. When Mozart's father, Leopold, came to visit Wolfgang in Vienna, Joseph Haydn, perhaps the most respected and famous composer in the world at that point, said to him, "I say to you before God and as an honest man, your son is the greatest composer whom I know in person and by reputation. He has taste and, what is more, he has the most thorough knowledge of composition." The finale of the Jupiter Symphony is nothing short of Mozart showing off his complete mastery of classical compositional style. The opening four-note melody, which was quoted in the previous movement, is a base upon which Mozart introduces four other themes, blended together and then presented in canon, in sequence, and in counterpoint. The music sparkles and is full of drama. The crowning moment occurs in the coda, in the last minute of the piece. Mozart presents all five melodies in a row and sequences it so that all of the instruments in the orchestra, from high to low, play each of the five with all of the others. To think Mozart could write five melodies, each of which could be the soprano or the bass or the middle voice, all in combinations which work perfectly together in harmony, is almost unfathomable. It's a brilliant feat of composition. However, scholarly analysis aside, what is best is the pure energy and love of music and sound that emanates from this music. The fact that Mozart wrote this piece knowing it may never get played, the fact that he felt underappreciated professionally, and that he was always broke and rarely in good health, all of this is put aside as he gets lost in writing pure, absolute music. Here it is, the finale of Mozart's Symphony No. 41, which later became known as the Jupiter Symphony, with the Cleveland Orchestra under Maestro George Zell. ¶¶ Listening to At the Symphony here on Classical 90.5, and this is Jeffrey Robson. You've just heard the finale of Mozart's Jupiter Symphony, a work that will open this weekend's Masterworks concerts with the Arkansas Symphony Orchestra. Those concerts are this Saturday, April 11th at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday the 12th at 3 p.m. at the Maumel Performing Arts Center. Also on the program will be works by Sergei Prokofiev and Richard Strauss. Prokofiev was a 20th century Soviet composer who had a great sense of classical style, derived mostly from his position as a true anti-romantic. From the beginning of his career, which began at a very young age, he was a different kind of musician. As a pianist at the St. Petersburg Conservatory, he disliked the music of Chopin and Liszt and the self-indulgent romantic style of playing that it required. From the beginning, his music had a much more mechanical quality, with driving, pulsating rhythms and abrupt, divisive harmonies. He tended to use Western classical European forms, however, and tonal key structures. His Piano Concerto No. 3 in C major is a perfect example of this. Prokofiev also had quite a gift for melody, which is apparent from the very opening. Here is pianist Martha Argerich in a recording with conductor Claudio Abbado and the Berlin Philharmonic. You've been listening to the Third Piano Concerto of Sergei Prokofiev. You can hear this work in its entirety this weekend as the Arkansas Symphony Orchestra takes the stage in the season finale of its Masterworks series at the Maumelle Performing Arts Center. Visit www.arkansassymphony.org for ticket details. Joining the symphony this weekend on stage will be guest artist Yol Sun, who is a highly successful young Korean pianist. She began her career as soloist for the New York Philharmonic's 2004 Asia Tour and has been concertizing all over the world ever since. A silver medalist at both the Van Cliburn and Tchaikovsky competitions, she's drawn accolades from conductors and reviewers alike. It will be a thrill to welcome Yol Sun to the stage here in central Arkansas to perform this work of Prokofiev. The second movement is a theme and variations. The theme is stated in the orchestra at the beginning, then the piano enters for the variations, each of which capture an element of the character of Prokofiev's music. Here again is the Berlin Philharmonic with pianist Martha Argerich.
Thank you.
You're listening to music of Prokofiev on At the Symphony. Sergei Prokofiev was a Soviet composer who traveled quite a bit in the West, including in the US, early in his career, but spent most of the latter part of his career back in Stalinist Russia. Never satisfied with the reception his music received in America or Paris, where he was living when he wrote this piece, the Third Concerto, he returned to Moscow for good in 1936, at the height of the Soviet repression of artists. Most of his music after that time reflects the strict limitations and demands that were put upon composers by the propaganda arm of Stalin's regime. The finale of this concerto reflects his true sentiment as a composer, however. It contains classical-sounding melodies overlaid upon each other in jagged fashion, with many abrupt clashes of pounding rhythms and dissonant harmonies. This movement is always rousing in the concert hall. Here is an excerpt, one more time, with the Berlin Philharmonic and pianist Martha Argerich.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Prokofiev's Third Piano Concerto here on KLRE Classical 90.5. This is Jeffrey Robson, and you're listening to At the Symphony. Just as Prokofiev in many ways was the first modernist disposing of 19th century romantic tradition, Richard Strauss was the last great romantic. His music is steeped in the Austro-Germanic tradition that evolved after Beethoven's death. He's most known to symphonic music lovers for his tone poems such as Don Juan and Death and Transfiguration. He also wrote numerous operas, the most popular of which is Der Rosenkavalier, first produced in 1911. It's one of the few comic operas from the late Romantic era of German opera common in the repertory today. It came on the heels of Strauss's much more shocking operas Salome and Elektra. It has a plot that would suit a Mozartian opera buffa. Always present in Strauss's music is an elastic energy that carries the listener along very long musical phrases. His fastidious attention to detail in scoring for very large orchestra results in a lush, complete sound to the orchestra that almost outweighs the music itself. It is virtuosic music for every instrument in the orchestra. Der Rosenkavalier also has a healthy dose of Viennese waltz in it, encased in Strauss's rich symphonic style. Here is music from the suite from Der Rosenkavalier, as performed by the Philadelphia Orchestra under the baton of Eugene Ormandy.
Thank you.
You've been listening to music of Richard Strauss. His suite from the opera Der Rosenkavalier will be performed in its entirety this weekend as the Arkansas Symphony Orchestra takes the stage for one final Masterworks series this season. Also on the program will be Mozart Symphony No. 41, the Jupiter Symphony, and Sergei Prokofiev's Piano Concerto No. 3. Music director Philip Mann will be on the podium, and joining the ASO on stage will be guest artist pianist Yol Umsun. Again, those concerts are this Saturday, April 11th at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday the 12th at 3 p.m. As usual, they will be preceded by concert conversations, a pre-concert talk given by Philip Mann himself. Those take place 1 hour before each performance. Visit www.arkansassymphony.org or call the box office at 501-666-1761 for more information. Until then, this is Jeffrey Robson for the Arkansas Symphony Orchestra, and we'll see you at the Symphony.
You have been listening to At the Symphony with Jeffrey Robson, a presentation of the Arkansas Symphony and UALR Public Radio.